Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not leave us as orphans, that you send us the Comforter, the Counselor, to guide us into all truth. And we just pray that this morning, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in our hearts, that you would enable us to come to know you more, to love you more, to walk more closely and intimately with you. Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Peter Jackson's first film in the Hobbit trilogy, Gandalf invites Bilbo on a great journey, an epic adventure. Gandalf tells his friend, "You'll have a tale or two to tell of your own when you come back." But poor timid Bilbo has a question. "Can you promise that I will come back?" Gandalf, of course, looks at him and says, "No. And if you do, you will not be the same." He's letting Bilbo know that this journey is going to change him. It's going to transform him. Bilbo soon finds himself on a quest to free the lonely mountain from the dreaded dragon Smaug, even though he would be the first to admit that he's the least likely person in all the world to participate in such dramatic events. Now, our life of faith is also a great journey, an epic adventure in which God leads us step by step by his Holy Spirit. Viewing our lives as a journey today will provide an image, a metaphor that will help us understand better the work of the Holy Spirit along the way. It's so great. My friend Bilbo was so excited about my sermon, he lent me his ring just for one day. I get to borrow his ring. But he's really nervous. He wants me to give it back right away. Well, today we continue our series in Ephesians. Throughout our study of this book, we've been learning of the stark contrast between what life is like when it is lived in fellowship with Christ and what life is like when it is lived apart from Christ. We've learned that God calls us to imitate him as dearly loved children by living a life of agape love, which Christ models for us. This life of love contrasts with the greed and the lust that characterize our lives before we came to know Christ. Our old self, before we knew Christ, was filled with darkness. Our new self is flooded with light. Last month, Paul warned us not to be foolish, but to live wisely and to seize the day. We learned that the key to living wisely and seizing the day is to understand the Lord's will and then to act upon it. We then considered Ephesians 5:18, which says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." We learned that drunkenness leads to big, big mistakes. And we were warned never to turn the control of our lives to anything other than God. We also were reminded that God calls us to obey the laws of the land as long as these laws do not contradict God's word. And this includes laws that prohibit underage drinking. And we heard the Bible's stern instruction that we must avoid doing things that cause our brothers or sisters to stumble and fall into sin. Do not get drunk on wine. We then reviewed Scripture's teaching concerning who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. Today we will look at three aspects of the Spirit's work in our lives, again, using the metaphor of an epic journey, the journey of faith. The book of Ephesians is very interesting. It tells us a lot about the Holy Spirit. It reminds us of the Holy Spirit's action in setting us apart as God's people at the very beginning of our journey of faith. It reminds us of how the Holy Spirit leads us along this journey to the next step of obedience and growth by which we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And it teaches us how the Holy Spirit provides what we need each day in order to obey God. You might say that the Holy Spirit is our passport, our GPS, and the fuel in our engine. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is our passport, our GPS, and the fuel in our engine. Now, our journey of faith begins with something called justification. What's justification? It's the moment when God brings us into a right relationship with Himself and removes the guilt of our sin. Romans 3:23 through 24 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. In other words, we do not earn a right relationship with God, but God opens the door to a friendship with Himself through Christ's death on the cross. And it's through Christ's death by which God removes and destroys our sin and death, through Christ paying the penalty that we deserve to pay. This is why Romans 5:9 tells us that we've been justified by His blood. It took the death of Christ to make us right, to make us just before the throne of God. Now, according to Romans 5 and 6 and Hebrews 7:9 and 10, Christ's work on the cross by which He justifies us, by which He removes our sin and opens the door for this friendship with God, occurs only once. It occurs only once. Jesus does not need to die again and again and again for our sin. No, according to Hebrews 7:27, Christ sacrificed for our sin once for all when He offered Himself. We then receive this once for all justification when we believe in Jesus Christ and place our faith in Him as our Savior and Lord. So justification, it occurs once for all on the cross, but we receive it when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. With this in mind, we may turn to Ephesians 1:13 through 14, a passage that Jonathan mentioned several weeks ago, to see the role of the Holy Spirit in our justification, the role of the Holy Spirit in the first step of this epic journey of faith that God invites us upon. We read there, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." I like to tell the story of how several years ago, Bonnie's aunt gave me a stamp with my Chinese name etched on it. When I got it, I thought, this is the coolest thing in the world. I started stamping things. I've even stamped my Bible. But it was so funny. My Bible has my English name and my Chinese stamp on it. And yet, one Sunday, I misplaced it in the sanctuary, and it was lost for 9 months. It was just floating around the sanctuary. And yet, but everyone must have known it was still my Bible. It has my stamp on it. Finally, Jessica Scheck found it and said, "Pastor Nathan, here's your Bible." I was so happy. And this is how it is in our journey of faith. When we come to faith in Christ, we are stamped. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's stamp, God's mark, God's seal. That stamps us, that shows who we belong to. We belong to God. Whether we sense the Holy Spirit or not, whether we even knew about the Holy Spirit or not before today, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit as those belonging to God the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. It's as though the Holy Spirit is our passport and the stamp sealing us with God's name, which shows the world that we're God's people. We're citizens of God's kingdom. Now, I hadn't thought about my U.S. passport very much in recent months until I stumbled upon it recently in my file cabinet at home. I picked it up. I kind of dusted it off. I looked at it, and I realized it's getting old, and it's about to expire. It must be renewed soon. Today, I'd like you to check your spiritual passport. Is it new? Is it fresh? Is it something you use frequently? Or does it sit neglected and forgotten in a file folder somewhere in your heart? In other words, are you living each day in the joy, the newness, the reality of your relationship with God, which you received when you were stamped and sealed in Him by the Holy Spirit? Are you walking closely with Him, delighting in His presence in your life? Or is your relationship with God something you take for granted and never really think about? Is it time for you to renew your spiritual passport? Is it time for you to reawaken your daily walk with Jesus Christ? Now, the Holy Spirit is not only our passport, who seals us and marks us as belonging to God. He's also our GPS, who leads us from wherever we may currently be to the next step in our journey of faith. In recent weeks, Paul has reminded us again and again of the struggle between our old self and our new self in Christ, between our sinful flesh and the Holy Spirit, between the ingrained sin of our natural selves and the holiness that God offers to us as His children. Even though we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, even though Christ has forgiven us and removed our sin, and even though we've entered into a friendship with God, we may still have sinful habits arising from our sinful flesh that remind us we still have a long way to go on this journey of faith. There are still areas in our lives that require transformation. We talk about this a great deal because it's such an important, such a central part of our Christian life. As we travel with the Spirit along this journey of that God has called us upon, we begin more and more to live out the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Paul sets before us the goal toward which we are journeying in Christ, which is maturity and the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, according to Ephesians 4:13. Now, one way that the Holy Spirit leads us step by step in this epic spiritual journey of faith, by which we become more and more like Jesus, is by sounding warning bells about our current condition. You see, we can become really comfortable, even as Christians, with our sin. We can become comfortable and not see a reason to change, not see a reason to progress and take the next step in our journey with God. But then the Holy Spirit sounds that warning bell. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and allows us to feel miserable. The Holy Spirit shows us that something's wrong, something's getting in the way in our relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit calls us to change. Then as we seek the Lord in prayer, God will use the Holy Spirit in our lives to show us the way forward step by step. Perhaps you've hurt someone with your words or actions, and the Holy Spirit is asking you to apologize to that person. Perhaps you've acted inappropriately at work, and the Holy Spirit is asking you to make amends. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is convicting you not of something you have done, but of what you have left undone. A step of obedience that you've been delaying or avoiding. God used a man named Carlton Booth in an evangelistic music ministry and in a training ministry. But before he was ready for that, God needed to make some changes in his life to move him further along in his spiritual journey. This guy Carlton, he writes this in his autobiography. I had been converted to Christ shortly before going to work for Sears. But up on that second floor all alone, I found myself subjected to strong temptations. Some of the orders that came down from the floors above included unwrapped boxes of chocolate. Raise your hand if you're a chocolate lover like me. I love chocolate. So he's working on the second floor. Some of these boxes are coming down. This is like many years ago. And these are unwrapped boxes of chocolate coming down. It would be a huge temptation. And he convinced himself, he says, I convinced myself that one chocolate lifted, stolen from the second layer of a box now and then would never really be missed. Candy was such a rare treat back then that we could not afford it. And this made the temptation so irresistible that I yielded to it several times. That's a problem. His GPS kicks in, the warning bells go off. The Holy Spirit lets him know something is wrong. The Holy Spirit showed him not only that he was doing something wrong, but that he needed to take some very specific steps, difficult steps, in order to move forward in his relationship with God, in order to progress along in his spiritual journey. The step he needed to take was to save up money to pay for the items he had stolen and to give this money to his supervisor. Can you imagine for a moment how difficult that would be? When he did so, Booth writes, the supervisor neither chided nor congratulated me when I said my conscience had been troubling me. His eyes looked straight through me and he said, "Well, son, what shall I do with this money?" I told him I didn't care what he did with it. All I wanted was to have relief from this thing that had been troubling me for many days. So he took the money and quite calmly, and I think a bit sympathetically, said, "I shall turn this into the office marked conscience money." I love that, conscience money. Does anyone here need to pay some conscience money? When the Holy Spirit, God's GPS for us, shows us a step we need to take, then we must take that step if we want to mature and grow in our relationship with Him. If we refuse to take the step that God is leading us to take, God does not say, recalculating, like an earthly GPS. God does not route us onto an almost equally easy path. No. When we disobey God's directions, we enter God's discipline. He will deal with our disobedience and remove it from us in order to enable us to grow and to progress along this wonderful, epic adventure that He invites us to experience. In fact, obedience is so important to God that Jesus emphasizes it in His final words to His disciples before His death. You know, when people are about to die, and Christ knew He was about to die for our sins, when you know you're about to die, you only tell your friends and family the most important things. You don't sit chatting about, you know, the baseball statistics and standings, which, if you're like me, you might love. But when you're about to die, you find things more important. And obedience is so important to Christ that right before he died in John 14:23, he says this, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Our obedience, in other words, is the way we show Jesus that we really love him. Then in the next verse, Jesus says, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." And so if we think we love Christ, but we refuse to live in the way he calls us to live, we refuse to do the things he asks us to do, then we're just fooling ourselves. If we love Jesus, we will obey him. The good news is that we're not left on our own to figure out what we need to do in order to please God. God's given us scripture. And in John 14:26, Jesus tells us that the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Okay? The Holy Spirit teaches us about God. The Holy Spirit also reveals God to us. The more the Holy Spirit teaches us about God, the more we will understand and love God. And the more we love God, then the more we will obey him. This is why obedience is such a clear indicator. It reveals so much about where we are at in our spiritual journey. This morning we've seen that the Holy Spirit is our passport. He's our GPS along this epic journey of faith. He is also the fuel for our engine, giving us the strength and power we need to press on in our journey of growth, obedience, and service in God's kingdom. At this point, we return to the command we find in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the command be filled in the Greek is a present tense verb. In other words, it refers to a continuous action. Paul is commanding us, go on being filled continuously with the Holy Spirit. Not only is it a present, continuous event, it's also a passive verb, which means this, allow yourself to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us, but it's we ourselves who often block this filling through our disobedience or our lack of full surrender. The logic of Ephesians is clear. We have been marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13. And Romans 8:9 tells us that if we belong to Christ, then the Holy Spirit does live in us. Yet Ephesians 4:30 tells us that we may still grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed. And Paul commands us in Ephesians 5:18 to continually allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is possible for us to believe in Christ, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and to have the Holy Spirit living within us without surrendering fully to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to control us, to live out Christ's righteousness in us and through us. It's possible for Christians to still live according to their sinful flesh instead of living according to the Holy Spirit. So fill your gas tank, Paul is saying. Fill it up. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the fuel for your engine. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the strength and the power that you do need for this epic journey of faith that you are called to experience, a journey of obedience, service, and faith. So how may we be filled with the Holy Spirit? How? The answer in Scripture is so simple that we might be tempted to ignore it or to think that there really must be something more to it than there really is. But in Luke 11:13, Jesus tells us the answer. He says this, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" It's that simple. What do we need to do? We simply ask. We simply ask. Each day I ask God to cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ and to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I ask Jesus to live his righteous life in me and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. A.B. Simpson wrote that we bring him but an empty hand, clean and open. He fills it. We are a capacity. He, the supply. This morning, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, then you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and you have a new passport, marking you as a person who belongs to God, someone who belongs to God's kingdom. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to show you the areas in your life that He wants to shape and transform next? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to show you the next step of obedience and growth that He's asking you to take along your epic journey of faith? He's our GPS. Finally, do you allow the Spirit to fill you each day, providing the fuel, the power, and the strength that you need for this journey? Today, let's surrender afresh to the Holy Spirit, allowing God to do His work in us. When we do so, we will enter more deeply than ever before into this adventure, this epic journey of faith that God has prepared for each one of us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of adventure and that you invite us on this epic journey that's so much more amazing and wonderful than we could ever imagine or create on our own. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the Holy Spirit as our seal, as our passport, marking us as yours. That through the Holy Spirit, you guide us and direct us step by step along this journey. And that through the Holy Spirit, you provide the fuel that we need, the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be your children in this world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.